her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair to stack it just
feels like I might need a refresher course here, gang. Need your help.
Okay.
What are the characteristics and qualities of a good friend?
Loyal.
Darn it, right out of the gate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of the first one. Yeah, right loyal. On top.
That's first three. You ain't loyal, you're out.
Okay, but how does that loyalty manifest? Here's why.
Okay.
Yesterday, bringing the kids to the activities, run into one of my girlfriends. Good girlfriend. Probably one of my best girlfriends here in Wisconsin over the last few years since our younger ones are in school. And she pulls me aside. I say, hey, how's it going? She's like, not great. Oh, no. I'm so sorry. What's going on? She says, you know how we got a new car last week? I said, yeah, brand new car. She said, well, it's ruined. I said, oh, no. What happened? I'm thinking accident, right? I'm thinking that she's been involved in an auto accident. Not the case. She goes on to tell me, gang, that she went to, and chew, this might hit a little close to home, so don't react violently. Don't go all crazy on me. She goes to the local car wash, runs her brand new car. Big vehicle, by the way. Big, right? She's got kids. She's got to shuttle them around. It's a big car. Runs it through the car wash in town, and apparently it destroyed the car. Ripped the wipers right off the things, ripped them right off, and then there was some other damage to, like, the hood, the front of the vehicle. So she immediately pulls around after she sees this happens and goes to try to talk to the manager and let them know, like, hey, my car, my brand new car. And they kind of blew her off. And they were like, oh, yeah, our manager's not here right now, but he'll get back to you, or something along those lines. And they have yet to touch base with her. This happened almost a week ago now. And she's frustrated because her thought process, Chu, and you tell me if this is right or wrong, is she needs the surveillance footage of her vehicle going through the car wash. And she's afraid that that stuff is going to cycle itself out and they're not going to have the video of her car going through the car wash and being damaged at the car wash, because her insurance company is saying, going to need that video.
Yeah.
Going to need the indication of where it happened. So my dilemma is this, Chu. Do I have to boycott the car wash?
It's just a car wash.
It's not like, loyalty, it's not like, to you, my girlfriend, do I have to not go to the car? Because she's very upset. She's very angry.
Well, understandably so. It's not like you live in Mequon. It's not like you live in Horicon. We've got one car wash in town, right? Like, you know, somebody has something that happens in the car wash up in Horicon. Well, don't have any other options. Sorry. Don't want to have to drive 10 miles, you know, just to go get my car washed. You live in Mequon. You've got other options. What's the big deal if you just go to another car wash?
Are you telling me that if this happened in Horicon, you would boycott the car wash?
No, I'm saying then you don't have an option. You can't boycott that. I mean, again, you can't boycott the car wash when it's the only one in town. You can't inconvenience yourself that much. But at the same time, and again, you live in Mequon. I'm sure there's another car wash somewhere within, you know, a 2 mile radius.
What she doesn't know won't kill her.
This is why you're a bad friend.
Just never bring it up. And I'm siding with the car wash and that video. Goodbye.
It's been taped over. About to say, maybe I've been watching too much Law & Order reruns, but good luck getting that surveillance tape without a subpoena.
Isn't there a laundry list of things not to do or what they're not responsible before you go right into the car wash?
Maybe.
You tell me.
Yeah, it feels like you might have a little more expertise in this space.
Seems like this is something you should be aware of.
Well, number one, when you go into a car wash, especially with a new car, you always use touchless. Always, because rocks get caught in those brushes, and they'll scratch the crap out of your car. So you always use touchless, unless you don't care. Right, Joshy? Because Joshy's had experience with car washes.
I've run a car through a wash no less than 3,000 times when I worked at a car dealership. There was a lot of that going on. And often, people there when it was the old brushes and the flaps, that the big blue things that hang down and wiggle,
yeah.
Those do get things stuck in them. It comes off of other cars, and then it ends up in there, and it will ruin your clear coat, or it will scratch your car, or it will rip off antennas and things of that nature. So I think it was a mistake. I think touchless is the way to go, especially with a brand new car. Has she tried just showing up there? Because it feels like we're kicking the can here, and these guys are like, maybe if we just pretend this isn't happening, it'll go away.
Yeah, manager, not here. Don't know when he's going to be here, but...
Never seen him.
Guess what?
Jen,
he'll call
how
you.
Much how much damage are we talking? Thousands?
Maybe about $1,000. It's not my vehicle. I can't speak with a certain level of authority. Right. I'm just kind of talking based on what she told me. I'm more concerned about... Well, me, obviously.
Numero uno.
We have three memberships to this car wash. One for my husband's car, one for my vehicle, and one for our now 16-year-old's vehicle. So it's probably about, I don't know, $100 a month for the membership at the old car wash. And I really like being able to, you know, zip in, zip out, clean car. And I like going and using the vacuums and getting all of the crummies and the food particles that my little ones leave in the vehicle. It's quite convenient is what I'm getting at.
Is this the only car wash in town that's got a vacuum cleaner? That's what we're sticking around for because they have the hose? I think the suction's better in this one than it is at the one down the street. What are we talking about
right
now?
Well, that's the thing, Gabe. It's down the street. This one is right by my house.
This is way easy. It's a verbal boycott. But you still go there and just hope you don't get caught there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But she doesn't.
I'm never going there again, right?
Uh-huh. If you go to a restaurant you love and your friend goes there and like, oh, the meal was absolutely terrible, you're going until you have a terrible meal.
I don't think you commit to the boycott in writing or in speaking. I don't think you ever reference it. Because then you could get jammed up. But if I never commit to the boycott, then it's like, oh, you thought I was boycotting?
Yeah, you allude to it.
I wasn't boycotting. I'm sorry for you, and I'm really sorry this happened. And that's genuine, right? I am genuinely sorry that my girlfriend and her family are going through this with the brand new vehicle. Just remember how excited you are when you get a new car, you know? And, like, that new car feeling, that new car euphoria is supposed to hang around for at least a month. At least a month of new car euphoria. So for the fact that, like, it's been a week and theirs is all jammed up, that stinks. But you know what would else stink, Gabe?
Let me ask you this. What's that little voice inside you saying? What's that conscience telling you?
Whoosh, whoosh.
Well, that guy has been gagged for a long time, Gabe. I think it's cute that you think he still has a say in things. 800-990-3776. That's our Carbless talk and text line this morning. What is the moral obligation to my girlfriend, to my friend, whose new car has been destroyed, ruined, affected by the car wash in town? Do I have to boycott the car wash? Does my family have to boycott the car wash? Are we now not car wash people because of the damage? Or, I even take it one step further, should we not be car wash people? Because if it can do damage to her brand new vehicle, what's to stop it from doing damage to any one of our vehicles? And I wonder if everyone out there who uses the car wash, and I do mean everyone, because the last few days when we've had 35 degree, 37 degree, 43 degree, that line is wrapped around out onto poor Washington Road. You got people waiting hours sometimes. It looks like the emissions test place in town, you know, where they were open
the
from
30th.
Like, yeah, they're open from like 10 to 1,
yeah.
You know, and that's it. That's what it looked like. 800-990-3776. What is the proper way of handling this? I got a lot of suggestions here. Gabe is saying boycott outright because there are plenty of other places in town where I can get my car washed. Joshy is saying boycott in theory, but you could still go to the car wash. And Chewy is saying you're never seeing those surveillance tapes. Don't even.
Well, so that's the thing. You know that now you also have this information about this place of business that if something happens to your vehicle, they ain't helping you out. You're going to get screwed over. So that's another piece of information that, well, maybe you want to boycott, not just to support your friend, but you know, maybe help yourself out in case something happens to one of your vehicles.
What she should have done is right when she left the car wash, used her phone to video the damage and things like that.
I believe she did. I believe they took pictures immediately,
then
too.
You got a shot. Yeah, you got a shot.
You know what she should do is just go park her big old car in front of the car wash, in front of the exit. You're like, oh, no. Can't run cars through the car wash? Bring your manager out here. I'll gladly move. Now they'll call the cops.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes, you will be removed from the premises.
But maybe if the authorities are there, she can plea her case to them, and they will procure, one, the videotapes, or two, a manager.
The question is, what would she take? Because they're not giving her $1,000 for the damage. How about a year's free membership?
So when a car gets repaired, she can just run it right back through and do the same damage?
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like this is a place you're going back to.
Forgive my naivete on this. What's going on with insurance? Because the only time I've had to do it is when I got like hit in a car and it was totaled. And it was like, well, yeah, there's the results. Obviously, what happened here. If you say this happened, like, what's their response? Like, well, we got to prove it. What do you mean?
Insurance is trash.
My arm, the arm of my wiper's ripped off. What am I? Yeah. Do you think I just did that for fun? It was out of sport.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if it gets much more than $1,000 of damage, I have no idea what this woman's, you know, deductible is.
Right.
But it might be worth it in the long run just to pay straight out of your pocket instead of using your own insurance.
Yeah, of course.
If you can't get the insurance from the car wash place to pay for it.
Yeah.
And insurance is becoming more and more complicated. They try to, like, run you through hoops. Oh, 100%. Yeah, you know. I've been filing claims for something at our household, and I get denied. Yeah. And I'm like, what? The reason you're denying me for these things, it doesn't exist. That's not what happened. Oh, but you used this. I didn't use that. Oh, shoot. Okay, well, then it must be this. Nope, also not that. And then by the third one, they're going, oh, okay. Approved. And I'm like, yes, I've given you the exact same information today as I did 3 days ago when I initially filed the claim, but they are trying to deny claims, obviously.
Because like, they seems bank to be on the, you going away. That's
correct.
Why.
They try
it's
to
like
it
down
it.
Here, right? With the hurricane, you have wind insurance and you have flood insurance, right? So the wind insurance blames the flood and the flood blames the wind. You know, they're just clowns. They're clowns. They're clowns.
800-990-3776. And Shu, just the reason that we said that you were an expert in this space is what again?
We have a few of them.
A couple car washes in the portfolio.
Yeah, but not this one. I checked.
No.
Did some digging.
I'm sure we had some issues.
I wanted to make sure. Yeah, I was like, I wonder if that's one that Shu is involved in. It is
that's
not.
Why I went with
but
the
Chu,
year's
I bet if you
membership.
Showed up, yes, I bet if you showed up to this place, they would listen. You know, you're an intimidating figure and whatnot. Maybe I could hire you for some muscle in this case.
Has your girlfriend gone back at all, or has it been all phone?
No, she's gone back. She's gone back to try to.
And the manager's just never there.
It's tricky because it's, you know, like it's a bunch of kids, right?
Right.
It's a bunch of like 20-year-olds working during the day, freezing their butts off as they stand there with that giant garage door that opens and they're scrubbing the back of your car and they're breathing into their hands. Try to get the feeling back. Like she doesn't want to like jam them up. It's not their fault, but she needs to talk to somebody. Anyway, so 800-990-3776. What should I do? What should I do? I think we figured out that she is doing all of the right things, but I'm trying to figure out of loyalty, do I need to boycott the car wash in town? Because not because they did the damage to her car. That can happen. But because of how they are handling the damage to her car, which is not taking responsibility for it, which is not letting her talk to a manager, which is not, you know, going through all of the, you know, the things. The reports and the incident reports and all of that stuff. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. 800-990-3776 is the Carb List talk and text line if you want to weigh in on anything that we talk about this morning on the show. And boy, oh boy, do we have a 10-pound, 5-pound morning for you on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Adam Schefter is coming up. The Senior Bowl is going on. Matt LaFleur is not there. All of that and more right after this.
X-Golf located at American Family Field, open year-round, which means you can be working on your game right now. Look, I know we're getting this nice little stretch of warm weather, but the calendar's turning over to February soon. We're going to be hitting spring. We're going to be playing golf outside, I promise you. But until then, X-Golf at American Family Field is the place you should be working on your game to make sure you stay sharp in the offseason. State-of-the-art simulators. But what's cool about X-Golf at American Family Field is the space that it's located inside the ballpark. Overlooking left field, great full bar, menus been tinkered with a little bit, and it's fantastic. I like the pizza, the burger's really good. Just had their club sandwich, which was spectacular last week as well. So check it all out at xgolfamfamfield.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's two things she counts in the house. One of the pictures. Yeah. What do you think the other one is?
Firearms.
Viagra.
On 94.5 ESPN.
On Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning as I try to figure out what my obligations are as a friend. We'll get back to that as the show rolls on, but I want to get to this morning. Matt Schneidman over at The Athletic has put out a compilation of the free agents for the Green Bay Packers this season. And as we like to do here on this show, he has ranked them. There are 11 players facing free agency for the Green Bay Packers, and Matt Schneidman has ranked them from 11 all the way to 1. Now, 11 on the list is A.J. Dillon. 10 on the list is Tyler Davis. 9 on the list, Andre Dillard. 8 on the list, Robert Rochelle. 7 on the list, Corey Ballantyne. 6 on the list, T.J. Slayton. 5 on the list, Eric Wilson. 4 on the list, Isaiah McDuffie. With that information, Chew, play the Jeopardy music. Can you name the top 3 free agents for the Green Bay Packers according to this list? The top 3 ranked free agents that the Green Bay Packers need to re-sign according to Matt Schneidman?
Myers is probably one, I would guess.
Very good. The heck was that noise?
He was thinking.
Sounded like he was swishing spit around his mouth.
Yeah. Sometimes you do that when you think.
Probably Eric Stokes is 3.
Hey. Eric Stokes is number 3.
He's not going to get 2.
See if I can get 2. Let's go.
I could give you a hint, but I'd give it away.
A defensive side of the ball?
No.
Offensive side of the ball, huh?
No, you don't think this guy's a football player.
Oh, punter? Kicker? Oh, the kicker. I don't even know his name. Sanders?
Sanders? Like the colonel?
McManus.
There it is.
He's 2?
Where's...
What?
Sanders? Where the hell did
like
Sanders?
Like Dion? Shador?
Hey, it was a punter. It was one of Mike Sherman's best picks, all right?
BJ Sanders?
What do you think of those 3, Chew?
With Myers, it's the continuity. I mean, if he's within the ballpark, I would re-sign him. You know, the throw line was good. It was very good. And we had questions at the beginning of the year. They stayed healthy the whole time. I like Myers. He's fine.
Till the very end, though. The very end.
Yeah, that's... You know how embarrassing that is? Back in the day, you know how much grief you would take being carted off the field and then going, oh, I'm fine. No one? Nothing?
I mean, no, I did not experience that, Chew, so you have to tell me how embarrassing it was. I was not on an NFL field, and I did not need to be carted off the NFL
field. It surprises me a little bit, Chew, that you nailed Eric Stokes as number 3. We have had our share of conversations about Eric Stokes' production, or at times, lack thereof. And this article does reference it as well. Stokes doesn't have an interception or a pass breakup in 29 games since his 2021 rookie season. Obviously, he has dealt with injuries. How much of Eric Stokes being number 3 on this list, Gabe, is more about just the situation at all with the defensive backs?
Him being number 3 on this list, it has nothing to do with the defensive backs. It has everything to do with everybody else on this list. You ran through it. Not an impressive list. They don't have anybody to me, the only one who's a must resign,
the kicker,
is Brandon McManus. Because I don't want to go through that again. Went through it last year. Went through it at the beginning of this year. Like, I don't want to go through that again. You got that figured out. lock him up. I don't care what it takes. You lock him up, you sign him, you figure it out. With these other guys, like for Eric Stokes, I would not be mad if Eric Stokes came back to the Green Bay Packers as long as the deal was reasonable. Like if he came back, if they decided to offer him something similar to what they did with A.J. Dillon this year, you know, something that's minimal because he was a decent enough player. You can trust him in a rotational spot. He would be good for depth. Do I think you can do better in terms of having a starting cornerback out there? Yes, but if you pay him backup money, I wouldn't have a problem with him returning and filling out the depth at that position.
But here's how I look at it, okay? If you do re-sign Eric Stokes for whatever money, and the Packers were very healthy this year. Take away the playoffs in the last game. They were, for the most part, pretty healthy far as health goes. If there's an injury there and Eric Stokes is a starter, you're in soup. You're in soup. Because I thought that was going to be the case with Josh Jacobs. You know, I thought, God, if he goes down, he's a large part of their offense. They're going to be in trouble. Well, that was wrong because I like what they have behind them. You know, I thought those backs ran very well. Offensive line is another question. I think we found that out in the last game. They're only six deep.
Well, with Myers, they'd only be five. If they let Myers walk,
yeah,
you'd only be five deep.
Which is probably a big reason why he's number one on this list. Chewy mentioned the continuity, obviously, the relationship, and it's referenced in the article as well by Schneidman. The relationship between him and Jordan Love is of the utmost importance. But to your point, it's just an easy thing to check. It's an easy box to check. You got other things you got to worry about. You got other positions that you need to be focusing on in the draft and free agency. Just get it locked up because you can move it off of your to-do list, right? And just start focusing on those other things that feel a little bit more pressing. Beyond Eric Stokes, was there anybody on the list, Gabe, that you thought deserved to be higher, that you thought they should prioritize more, or to you, was it pretty spot on?
I think it was pretty spot on. I don't see anybody else really worth prioritizing. I mean, they're mostly guys that are either special teamers or just going to be filling out depth at positions. And the cornerback position is just one of those that's so hard to figure out. Like, Chew, I know you're down on Stokes, but really, even without the pass breakup or the interception, he was solid. Like, he is a...
Yeah, I'm not down on him, but he's just a guy, Gabe.
Yeah, CB4.
Right? Yeah.
CB4, great to have him there.
Yeah, but you know what I'd be really open to is somebody that they draft. And I know like I'm going to be skewed by the Cooper DeJeans and the Quinyon Mitchells that are out there, but I'd like to see them draft somebody who can have an immediate impact at that position and not have to rely on Eric Stokes, who I agree to is sort of just a guy at this point. I thought he'd be better. I thought he would be, you know, more productive. It seems like, as we said last week when we were breaking down the Eagles draft picks, Roseman got a lot of the good ones.
and then with Wilson and McDuffie, I think you have to bring one of them back. You don't need both back, right?
Because you need bodies at the position. Yeah.
Yeah, you need bodies at that position.
Who do you prefer? You prefer Wilson or McDuffie?
I like Wilson. I mean, I thought beginning of the year he was an impact player. I thought he played really well.
Halfley seems to like McDuffie though.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's a BC guy.
I'm sure that's not the only reason.
Can you imagine, I think it might be the only reason.
Can you imagine if he was like, and that guy, I coached him at BC.
He's good.
We got to take a break. We've got Adam Schefter coming up next. Certainly want to ask him about the Mike McCarthy prolonging his head coaching search options until 2026, but there's more for us to talk to Adam Schefter about as well. If you're a local who wants to visit Milwaukee, if you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out, or if you are a visitor planning to come to Milwaukee, you can enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee. It's got those deluxe accommodations, the culinary creativity, the on-site art galleries, and nightly live music, so you'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your reservations at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
It's always hard to beat a team three times one season. It just is. I wouldn't be surprised if they meet again, and I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay is in that game and Green Bay has a chance to win that game.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island.
We love the time that we get with Adam Schefter. Good morning, Adam Schefter. How are you doing today?
Hello, everybody. How are we doing today?
I'm going to just refer to you as Adam Schefter for the entire conversation. Adam Schefter. Let me ask you a question about the Senior Bowl. How important is it for draft evaluation for teams in the NFL?
I think it's just a part of the picture, Jen. I don't think it's anything that's overwhelming. If you were going to school during the course of a year and you took 5-6 different tests and they were weighted, I think that's a little bit what you're talking about here with the Senior Bowl. And the Senior Bowl will be way down on a wait list because the body of work that is the college football season is the most important. And then you have the Senior Bowl, you got the combine, you got the private workouts, you got the meeting. There's a whole host of things that go into it. It's just one element that gives people a clearer picture. I think sometimes, though, these coaching staffs that are there, they obviously spend time with these players, and they could feel, just like anybody would be able to do, you spend time around a particular individual, you get to know them pretty well and feel if they would be a fit moving forward. So I think that's an advantage if you're coaching there, too.
So a quick follow-up on that, because Matt LaFleur is not at the Senior Bowl. He's not the only one. There are a number of NFL head coaches who aren't at the Senior Bowl. They sort of – go ahead.
I would say the majority coaches don't go, and more and more don't even go to the Indianapolis.
That's what I was going to ask you. So in Green Bay, we know that like Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur and, you know, Mark Murphy, but now will be Ed Policy going forward, they are all siloed. And I was wondering if there was any issue with head coaches not going to these types of things and being able to evaluate talent, or if that is just a clear delineation between the sides. These people pick the ingredients. These people use the ingredients to make the dinner.
No, Jen, it's about the most efficient use of your time. And when these coaches go to the Senior Bowl, they are hounded for jobs by too many people. It becomes overwhelming. And it's a spot that you don't want to put yourself in as a head coach. You just don't want to be there. It becomes counterproductive. And so you stay away from there. And sometimes that even lingers in Indianapolis. And by the way, if you're a head coach and you decide not to go to Indianapolis, which has become more and more of a trend, you watch all the drills on tape. You watch all the video interviews on tape. Your team's doing the interviews. Would it be better if Matt LaFleur is in Indianapolis to say to John Smith, the tight end, so John, what inspires you? Maybe. But is he missing out on anything by not being there? I don't believe so.
Adam, was this year's head coaching pool kind of weak? It kind of feels like going to a steakhouse and asking the waiter, I'll take the ribeye. Well, we don't have any. How about a New York strip? No, don't have any of that either. I guess I'll just go with the linguine and clams. That's, well,
I think if we go back over the head coaching cycle every year, you can say that, honestly. And I say, and I believe it's up to these teams to be a little creative and imaginative to find somebody that fits outside that box. Like, you know, it's like these names get out there and it's like, those are the names and that's it, right? Like, I know at the Saints the other night, we're asking people, are there any other candidates that we should be looking into? Like, And I've had people ask me that question over time. And there are a couple people that I know that I would have recommended to teams that didn't get any head coaching interviews. And that's their loss. Like, you know, it's not like they're reinventing the wheel. And they come up with these headhunting companies. They don't know anymore. You guys or me or the other players. Like, they don't know anymore. And it's just, it's amazing. But in the end, again, and that's why I don't understand everybody criticizing, like, the Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah, the guy hasn't done anything yet. Give him a chance.
Yeah, but by the way, like, there are 6, 7, 8 hires made every year. The league, every 4 years, basically with the exception of Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Kansas City, it turns itself over. The coaches get fired every 4 years. It is the way it is. And the coaches who stick around usually are pretty good, and they usually have a pretty good quarterback. Like, it's pretty simple, okay? And if you don't have a quarterback, then your days are probably going to be numbered, unless you're some outstanding coach like Mike Tomlin, who can stick around and find a way to win despite the fact that they've struggled to fill the position ever since Ben Roethlisberger retired. So, you know, we think like there's some young Sean McVay sitting in a lab that's going to come in, but if you took Sean McVay and put him on the Raiders the last couple of years with their quarterback play, Sean McVay wouldn't have been Sean McVay. He would have been good. He'd be effective and impressive, but we'd be talking about his job security too.
Yeah.
Adam, did Mike McCarthy misplay his hand with the Cowboys?
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, you certainly can make that argument right now, and we don't know all the conversations that happened behind closed doors, right? We don't know if Jerry ever got close to offering it. I was told they never negotiated a deal. But did that mean they came to him and said, hey, we're going to extend you at the rate we're paying you, which I believe Mike made about $10 million last year. So, and did Mike say, Jerry, I'm worth more than that? Or did they actually never have any conversation? I don't know the specific nature of any of those conversations to comment, to say that Mike overplayed his hand. But seeing how this job cycle has unfolded and seeing where it's at, I think if you're Mike McCarthy and you wanted to coach, then you might have been smart to take whatever it was that Jerry would have been willing to offer if he was willing to offer anything. They were having talks. There were people who thought it was going to get done, and then all of a sudden it went the other way. So something seems to have happened. And again, I'm going to guess that Mike probably thought that he would land another job, and he's not going to. So if that were the case and he had that knowledge 2 weeks ago, would he have been more amenable to listening to Jerry? Would he have been more willing to take orders from the owner? Would he have been more willing to take less money? Like, there are a lot of questions we could ask, but that's where we are today. By the way, you could do that with many of these situations, right? If the Jaguars had moved on from Trent Baalke right at the end of the season, would Ben Johnson be coaching there? Very possibly. Very possibly. But they didn't. They kept Trent Baalke. Ben Johnson didn't want that. He took the Chicago job. Then the Jaguars fired Trent Baalke. Then they hired Liam Cohn. Now Tampa was pissed off that they lost their offensive coordinator. So, you know, little moves and little conversations trigger other reactions. Did Mike overplay his hand? I don't know that you could just say that outright. Would he play it differently, knowing what he knows now? I think that that's certainly possible.
Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. I was watching the NFC Championship game and the AFC Championship game last week, and I was really impressed with Jalen Hurts. Has there been an evolution of Jalen Hurts, Adam, I guess in his time in the NFL? He was obviously very well respected in college ball. You know, even to this day, Nick Saban talks about just the integrity of that guy and the confidence of that guy, even with what went on, obviously, at Alabama, et cetera. Have you noticed that he is sort of evolving into a more competent passer, not necessarily having to rely on his legs, or was this just a one-game kind of anomaly?
No, I just think he's a different kind of quarterback. You know, he doesn't play the way that Mahomes or Josh Allen or Joe Burrow does. He plays a unique brand of football that certain people in this day and age where we see a lot of passing, his style doesn't exactly suit them. You know, they haven't gotten out to quick starts. He's a grinder. He's effective when he throws the ball. He scrambles well. He's so tough. He's a leader. Like, there are a lot of things about him you like, but it is very different than some of these other quarterbacks that we watch on Sunday. I think he is an effective thrower. I think he is an underrated thrower. It's not the way that they win ball games, though. That they win with some basic concepts on offense, throwing the ball. They win by running the ball, a great offensive line. You know, to me, he's a great quarterback for that system and that style and for the complement of players that they have there. He gets to do the tush-push behind that great offensive line, and he's so strong and tough that he can execute it. Yes, I think he's improved some as a passer, Jen. Yes, I think his game has evolved some. It's become more refined, as you would expect and hope, for any player over time. I just think he's not your prototypical quarterback, although the way he plays is becoming more and more prototypical of the quarterbacks we see today compared to what we saw a couple of decades
well,
ago.
So that was my next follow-up is, do you think we're seeing now where teams are actually, the more success that a guy like Jalen Hurts has, and of course now being in the Super Bowl twice in his short young career in the NFL, do you think that that is going to be something that, I mean, I look at Daniels, right? Like, he's a guy who can pick up first downs with his feet as well, and that athleticism under center seems to be a little bit more appealing. I just wonder if there's also going to be an evolution of the position.
You know, we see Josh Allen, same way, right? Like, I think teams certainly are more open to those types of quarterbacks, but they're hard to find. Like, you brought up Jaden Daniels, Jen. Like, nobody's done what that guy did. Like, yeah, if you can find another Jaden Daniels, get him, right? Like, they don't exist. You know, that's the problem. You know, Jaden Daniels is remarkably accurate and remarkably clutch. Like, that's a rare quarterback. I don't know when the next time we'll get one of those in the draft. Like, that's unusual. But, yeah, I think, look, teams have recognized the value of quarterbacks being able to make plays with their feet, a la, you know, Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts and Jaden Daniels. Yeah, but not everybody's like that. So, look, there's a shortage of quality quarterback. Take whatever damn good quarterback you could find. Like, whatever if he's going to stand in the pocket like Joe Burrow, fine. Like, even Tom Brady, who wouldn't roll around, was very elusive at eluding the rush when it got back there. Like, his feet were kind of quick when people were around him. He wasn't really a threat to run. We got that. Same with Peyton Manning. But they were pretty nifty and shifty when pass rushers would come around them.
Adam, speaking of Brady, how much power does he have in Las Vegas? Is he really the wizard behind the curtain? And is this going to be a problem with him in the booth?
Well, yeah, he's got a huge voice. And I think he was hugely influential in the hirings of Pete Carroll and John Spytek as general manager. And I know some people have this problem in the booth. I don't. Like, that's what he does. Like, he's a professional. Do you think he's going out to Chiefs practice, taking notes, going to call Pete? Hey, Pete, they're going to run this. Watch this. Like, do you think Tom Brady needs to do that at practice, Chewy?
Well, he is from New England.
They've got a history of videotaping. Adam. You know, it does exist.
I'm more of a glass full guy there. Like, I treat people to be professional. And by the way, if you have concerns and you're the team, then don't let him in your practice. That's the way it goes. Don't let him in then.
Michigan man Adam Schefter talking about Michigan man Tom Brady here on Jen Gaming.
We are honorable, okay? We are honorable people.
I just wanted to connect the dots for everybody. Make sure.
From now on, he's honorable Michigan man Adam Schefter. Yes, the honorable Michigan man Adam Schefter.
We don't need that with the education that's been provided to us. We're smart enough to get by without compromising our.
It's just like, hey, we had point shaving at Boston College. That wasn't really us, though.
You weren't involved with it. That's somebody else.
You, Chewy. It was you, Chewy.
Speaking of honorable, Adam, last thing before we let you go. My girlfriend's car got damaged at the car wash, and now I've asked the gentleman here, out of solidarity and loyalty to my girlfriend, do I have to boycott the car wash?
Well, I don't know that it's boycotting the car wash. It's sort of like common sense. If they scratched her car,
self-preservation.
Not to boycott. You can do whatever you want with your business, Jim, but if you want to be foolish enough to go to a place where they're damaging cars, then go do that.
Best way anybody's put it. Shefty, who are you taking Pebble Beach this week?
Justin Thomas is coming on, playing well. Colin Morikawa has been a force over the last year. Ludwig Åberg is a robot, a cyborg. That guy's incredible. I don't know. Who do we got, Joey? What do you got? Gabe, what do you got?
I was thinking of Ludwig as well. And I know he was sick, and that's why he played poorly this last week at Torrey Pines. So I was kind of leaning with you in the Åberg pick.
I mean, I like him. I'll give you a couple of guys that have played really well there. Denny McCarthy and Bo Hostler have finished very well.
Bo's a sleeper for sure.
Adam, why don't you play in that? You're just too busy this time of year?
Who's inviting me?
What are they crazy? Why? I mean, Boomer doesn't play anymore, right?
But Boomer loves that. Like, he goes out, he plays in a bunch of pro-ams with these guys in Hawaii. He's always, like, the master of ceremonies at the Travelers in Hartford. Like, it's like Boomer's Tournament. They might as well rename it Boomer's Tournament. You know, he kind of runs that thing. I've never been invited to. You know, I'm not a Boomer stature to be included in an invite. But if they ever wanted to include me in an invite, I love that stuff. It's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get Shefty to a pro-am this year.
I think we could make that happen.
We got to get Shefty to a pro-am.
Now that it's out there.
Gabe knows, right? Like, we don't have any PGA events coming through. Like, the Ryder Cup came through there once,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we don't have anything in Wisconsin. But, we, you know, I think we've got to, you know, we might know a couple people. We might be able to figure something out for you.
Ever. You know, it's, we'll see. It's fun to break out of the cage. Go do something different every now and then.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The honorable Adam Schefter, who needs to be uncaged.
It's a break.
I need to go take a car wash. Tell me which car wash I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. When you're here for the draft, I'll make sure you steer clear. Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Have a great week, Adam. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Adam Schefter told a great story. I saw it on social media this morning about Jerry Jones calling him and talking about Schottenheimer. I was talking about how Schottenheimer was a career assistant coach. And he's like, he's always been an assistant coach. And he's kind of weaving this tale. And Adam's sort of thinking, where are you going with this, Jerry? And Jerry goes, but not anymore. So if you get a chance to find that on social media, take a listen. It's a great tell by Adam Schefter. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on after this. Still lots of stuff to get to on the show.
Adam Schefter each and every week brought to us by our friends at the Island Resort and Casino, premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee. And with everything you like to do in one awesome location, you can visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But she doesn't know. Every now and then, I got the blammer coming up, and like, I'll let you use my tractor for two of the blue things, which I think's a pretty good deal, which gets me in trouble.
You got a Viagra ring?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Gabe Neitzel, where were you between the hours of 9 p.m. and midnight?
I was inside Fiserv Forum.
What?
Yeah, inside Fiserv Forum, hanging out.
A little chilly in there?
I was chilly. It was chilly there.
Why was it chilly?
Well, because there are a lot of events happening at Fiserv Forum between now and the middle of February when Disney on Ice is happening. And these last 2 days were the only 2 days they could start flooding the bottom of the arena and putting together an ice rink so they have ice for when Disney on Ice is here.
So then what do they do? Cover? They cover the ice with the floor and then the ice is just there? Like for these arenas that have hockey teams and whatnot?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, some sort of special covering. Because Bradley Center had some issues every once in a while with getting, you know, that moisture would leak through and then the court would become slick. They've gotten better at that. So, yeah, they've got to hide it underneath the floor because obviously National Marquette Day is coming up. They got a lot of stuff going on.
Do you notice how so far in all the talking that Gabe has done, he didn't tell you why he was at Fiserv Forum and what he was doing?
Just hanging.
And
yeah.
Just hanging out at Fiserv Forum, huh?
Me, Justin Garcia, Ryan Elliott, hanging out at Fiserv Forum.
What were you
top of the arc looking for someone to pass to? Lobs to Giannis, who stuffed it home as Avdija decided to front, and that was a mistake. Bucks back down by.
Well, that's a familiar voice. Gabe Neitzel is calling Bucks games, ladies and gentlemen. He's not going to tell you because Gabe doesn't like to talk about the things that he does outside of 7 to 9 a.m. here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But this must be a thrill for you, right? You're a lifelong sports fan.
Yeah.
Getting the opportunity to call Bucks games again.
Yeah. Have been able to fill in a couple of different times over the last handful of years. Filling in the last two nights. A lot of fun. Dave Kane slid over, did TV the last two nights. So that opened up the opportunity for me to call the games. And unfortunately, because it was in the middle of a road trip, didn't get to travel with the team, but still cool and a unique experience to be able to call the games even if you're doing it remotely. It was so much fun the last two nights.
I think Gabe might be a spy. I'm just finishing up the Americans, and I'm like, how doesn't anyone know that they're spies? Like, Gabe fits that mold. Gabe, Yeah, I mean, Gabe, you could be a spy.
Here's the problem.
Because you're a secret squirrel.
Yeah, but yeah, like, yeah. But if I'm a spy, the problem is, like, my secrets are, I'm on the radio all the time.
Worst
like,
spy ever.
Yeah, like, how am I getting spy
what
work done?
What great cover. But what great cover. No one would expect it.
How am also, getting... AI, no one... right? Like, yeah. It's 2025. For all we know, it was an AI gay bot calling the game last night.
Sitting you next know, you to Justin a, Garcia.
You put enough information into AI, it can do just about anything. That's what I'm learning in this day and age.
I'm on the air too much, Drew. I can't get the spy work done.
Gabe, we're happy of you. We're proud of you, but we cannot go without mentioning your massive failure.
I did fail.
What happened?
I dropped the ball big time. So I was filling in on Greeny yesterday, and the guys I was doing the show with, Q Myers, producer Cam Pratt, had found out I was doing these games. And they gave me a list of things to potentially work into the broadcast. I had three phrases they wanted me to work in, and I choked and I didn't do it.
What? You didn't do any of them?
Well, so I thought, okay, I'm going to ease into this game. We'll get through the first quarter. We'll start working it in. And then things started going south in the second quarter.
For the Bucks.
For the Bucks, yes.
Now they came back.
It's kind of an Uncle Rube thing.
Yeah, they were up by 12, then they're down by 3 at the half. And I'm like, okay, do I really want to be, you know, joking around and trying to work tiddlywinks?
Right out the gate.
Yeah, do I want to work tiddlywinks into a call here?
Tiddlywinks?
That was one of them, yeah.
Is it tiddlywinks or tiddlywinks? Sorry, that's a Pam Pan situation.
I heard the same thing.
I did too.
Tiddly, which is like when you say, tiddly or I,
when you're
tiddly.
Replacing the D with the T's, I don't know if we can hear a difference.
There's a joke in there, and I'm working really, really, really hard to bypass it.
Probably the same one we were working on making the original joke, if we're being honest.
So you didn't get tiddlywinks into the show.
Didn't get tiddlywinks in. They wanted me to get Johnny Raincloud in. They wanted me to get Boom 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 in. Were the three that I was assigned with.
That'd be so easy.
Because it was, again, like, I want to be asked back. Like, do I want to be joking around when the team's down by 20 and they're trying to come back?
I've got another highlight here. This is a Giannis putback dunk. Could we have worked in any of those sayings here?
Let's hear.
Still near the timeline, being harassed by Kamara. Gets a screen from Connaughton. Pat going in pick and roll. Right hand shot, no good. Giannis offensive rebound. Skies up. Slammed it home.
A million percent. Boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom. Giannis puts it back.
Or whoever the defender was, you just go, God, the defender was sitting there playing tiddlywinks. Come on, Gabe. Uncle Rube. Don't you remember Uncle Rube's sack?
I do. But again, John Madden was a little more established than me filling in for Bucks games. I'd like to be asked back should the opportunity present itself.
Here's another
one. Squirrel, bird bath.
Here's Giannis. Euro stepping down the lane. Uncontested two-handed dunk. Puts the Bucks up by a deuce, 9-7.
See, you're fitting in little Gabe-isms there. Puts him up by deuce. Like, I think you chickened out.
I did. Is that what you want? Is that what you want?
Yes.
I want chickened out. I'm a chicken. I should show up tomorrow in a chicken costume. All right? Like, I'm a Kentucky Fried Chicken. What do you want?
Well, I'm not gonna argue with any of those things. That would be great content. So please follow through for once, apparently. But the other thing is, you said that they ended up losing, and you and I talked about this in the production meeting earlier. Like, the third game in 4 days, obviously it's more of a fatigue thing than anything else, because we have seen how dominant Dame and Giannis. When you put Dame and Giannis together, you do sort of get Gabe. They have been as a tandem, as a duo this season. But when they were losing late, are you telling me you couldn't have gotten a Johnny Raincloud in there?
Yeah.
I hate to be Johnny Raincloud, but it doesn't look like it's going to be the Bucks night or something like that.
Yeah, again, what do you want? I've already admitted I've choked. I've admitted I'm a chicken.
You're beating a man when he's down.
Like, what else do you want from me?
Right?
What else do you want from me, Jen?
Chewy gave you the tiddlywinks. We talked about the boom, boom, boom. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that there was also an opportunity to get the Johnny Raincloud in there because they ended up dropping that game last night. Will you do it again? Do you have more calls coming up, or is it sort of just a when the moment arises?
When the moment arises, filled in these last 2 weeks, maybe there's opportunities down the line, not quite sure. But if it happens again, I will do my best not to chicken.
Uh-oh. And if it doesn't happen again, it's because you choked.
It's chicken costume time. That's what it is.
I just think, Gabe, what have I always told you?
Can't play scared.
There you go.
I played scared,
Can't play scared. You play scared. All right.
Familiar with that one, Aria?
Did you forget how it went at the end?
No, I didn't. I just was giving a little dramatic pause. We'll take a break. Speaking of pauses, we'll take a break. There it is. Game night till everybody.
Is this the polka version? The most Wisconsin chicken dance?
This is the most Wisconsin chicken dance I've ever heard.
Take it to break.
Polka.